What's up, Brainiacs? Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Just a programming note that every Monday at 9 Central, you can join me, Andrew Cieslak, and Josh Custodio for Monday Night Program. Come hang out with us as we continue to build the WBCW universe using Fire Pro Wrestling Promoter Mode. Who should we sign? What matches should we book? Join us for the only professional wrestling program on Monday nights. That's Monday Night Program on twitch.tv/wrestlingbrain.
Comics in the combat zone, comics in the combat zone. Usually we make you laugh, but now we're watching guys get stabbed with light tubes.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Comics in the Combat Zone. This week, talking CZW Stretched in Smyrna, May 12th, 2001, at Station 44. We're back in the firehouse, Ben.
Yeah, what a gross name.
What a terrible name for a show.
Horrible name.
An awful name. They need an S word to go with Smyrna, and they chose Stretched.
Stretched. Yeah, it's in combination, it's just horrible. It's just horrendous. I don't even know what I'm thinking of, but I know whatever it is, it's bad.
Yes, a very bad name. And, you know, they've sort of made Smyrna, the Station 44 is like a regular spot for them now. So I guess we're going to come up with new S words just to as the show goes on. I'm sure we'll get slammed in Smyrna.
Slurs if Rockin' Rebel comes back.
Slurs in Smyrna. Yeah, he's in the main event. But yeah, so we open with John House and Eric Gargiulo, our favorite commentators in wrestling. And they inform us as they're running down the card that Wifebeater overseas beat Zandig for the title in the UK.
Yeah.
And if you remember on the last show, Justice Payne informed us that Wifebeater couldn't make it because he had a dire shoulder injury. He shamed the crowd for booing, even though they'd advertised him. And it turns out, no, he was in the UK wrestling for the company, but just not at the CZW show.
Yeah, it's always good not to do a title swap, like, on a show, I guess.
Yeah.
Just in the UK.
Well, remember, like, there used to be a junior heavyweight title, and then they just informed us that Trent Acid lost it in Japan. And now it's like, so there's just no more belt in the company.
See you later, I guess. That's how it works. If someone from AEW wins, like, WrestleMania, then, you know, it just doesn't belong to WWE anymore. That's how it all works in wrestling, right?
Yeah. So we get our cut after this, and the Dude is out front. And it's hilarious because he's waiting for the Briscoes to show up to the arena, and he's just sort of frantically pacing back and forth, just acting terribly. But the fans are just out front and, like, heckling him and just talking shit to him. And so he's just, like, trying to, like, ignore them and, like, still keep his acting on. I actually sort of like this.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of skits these days, which... And the dude's, like, he's quite funny, actually, so...
You like the dude?
Yeah, he's all right. He's growing on me.
And so as soon as the Briscoes show up, he's like, what the fuck? What's your deal? Like, where were you? And as he's berating them, the SAT just attack them. They throw him into this random truck. I'm assuming it might belong to one of them. And then Amazing Red does a flip off of the truck onto the Briscoes.
It's pretty cool.
And then as they fuck off, the SAT just leave them there. And then the dude, like, continues berating them. And he's like, how could you embarrass me like that? How did you get attacked from behind?
So funny. To get attacked and then blame the Briscoes and be like, I can't believe you did that to me.
I can't believe you've done this. Then we cut again, and we see Trent Acid just, like, on the sidewalk in front of the building. And he gives, like, a short-spirited promo. He's like, I don't even want to talk to you guys. Why don't you go talk to my opponent? And then we cut, and we see Minoru Fujita, Trent Acid's opponent. And he's, like, trying to get something out of the vending machine and just cuts this, like, heated promo in Japanese.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
If I understood a word, I'm sure it would have been great.
Yeah, I think he said CZW at one point. But that's
hell
all.
Yeah. That's all how I knew it was good.
And I'd never heard of this guy. I looked him up. I thought maybe we need a side profile on him, but he's just like a big Japan wrestling guy and didn't like have a huge career from what I could find. But yeah, he would be wrestling Trent Acid later in the show. But we do open the show with an up-and-comer indie veteran, Adam Flash, entering the ring. Did you have any thoughts about Adam Flash just right off the bat?
I thought he looked like a Poundland Trent Acid. I was like, who the hell is this guy? I'd never heard of him. He has like long flowy blonde hair. He's like wearing similar style. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Get your own style, bro.
Yeah, the commentators were like, this is a WCW wrestler. I can't believe he's here. And I looked him up, and he's like, he would be one of the guys who'd lose to the big stars in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like enhancement talent, essentially. And he was out facing former CZW champion Nick Burke. CZW really does know how to, like, get their you know, they take a what's that phrase? They get a mile out of an inch. Like,
oh right, yeah.
It's like he had the title for 20 seconds. Former CCW champion. This guy lost to a big star in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
former WCW wrestler.
They're only just about not gaslighting us about Bert. Like, yeah, technically what he is former, but it's just like it's so absurd to call him that.
Yeah, he held it for a minute and a half, I believe.
Yeah.
So this match starts with a chop fest and a quick arm drags from Nick Burke. The action picks up as Flash takes control with a flashy offense. They make sure to let you know that he's got a very flashy offense. That's
yeah,
where he gets
is.
The name from. Burke counters with a choke. Flash goes to crotch him on the ropes, and Burke just hangs him up, hits a guillotine moonsault, if you can believe that. He calls for the Burke driver, Flash counters, and then he hits the Burkulator. Which is just a face buster.
That's such a good name, the Burkulator.
You like it, eh?
Yeah. Fish in the Burkulator, that's great.
Flash counters with a boot in the corner. He hits a running Liger Bomb, which actually looks really good. And then he goes for a top rope leg drop, but he misses, which just looks brutal. I've always liked when you're just landing on your tailbone.
Yeah. I think it is, like, it's crazy. It shows the like, even though CZW won the war against WCW, like, it shows the quality difference where, like, this guy's the lowest guy in WCW, but he's, like, far and away one of the best wrestlers in CZW.
Yeah.
Like, he's really, really good. Like,
he's able to take it to former CZW champion.
Yeah, just like big fish in a little pond or whatever, because he is really good and he's really fun to watch, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought he had great offense. But, of course, he's just here to put over Nick Burke, who hits the Burke driver after this failed leg drop and wins the match in 6 minutes and 5 seconds. A decent match.
I thought it was a good match to open with, to be honest. I was like, you know, they're not always great at opening matches. But, yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And they are doing a thing with Burke, where I believe this is the second show in a row now he's opened and won. So I think they're trying to, like, build him up for something.
Former CZW headliner.
Then we cut, and we get the guys who were used to having open the show. With Eddie Valentine comes in. No John Dahmer with him. I thought maybe it was due to his shoulder injury from the last show, if you remember.
Isn't that code for in the UK? Is he in the UK fighting?
Yeah, that's
Shoulder
injury. No, and John Dahmer would just wrestle in the next match. He just didn't come out with Eddie.
Oh, right.
But Smack Mac did. So
we
did get to see him. And then out next is Ruckus. And then out next is Jeff Rocker, just looking big and juicy as ever. So this is a triple threat match. And it's funny because the commentators are, like, debating if this is an elimination match or not, or just a straight triple threat. And they clearly, like, don't know.
Yeah, and they are. And they're like, whoa, Ruckus. Ruckus, you may think he's fat, but he's lost 20 pounds. But
yeah, they make a point.
But he is still kind of fat. It's like, come on, bro, give him a break. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah, 20 pounds is a lot for sure. They start with exchanging pinfalls, and it ends with a Ruckus super kick to Jeff Rocker, sending him outside. Then he throws Eddie outside, and he hits the Badass, which, if you remember, is his handspring, like, moonsault over the top rope.
Yeah.
He's given these moves fancy names. We have to keep you, the listener, informed. Rocker hits Ruckus. Like, it's funny. Eddie Valentine is just throwing Ruckus into the sea of chairs. And as he's Irish ripping him, Rocker just hits him in the back of the chair as well, which I thought was sort of just a random spot.
Yeah, and it's insane. Like, the floor is just a straight, like, imagine a fire station floor. There's no, like, padding or anything. They're just
straight.
Yeah. It's just a hard floor. Like, this is...
When it looks so slippery.
Yeah. And you should always put a wet floor sign up. But, yeah, it's brutal. Like, this would hurt a lot, I think, a lot of what they're doing.
Definitely.
I mean, normally, yeah, I mean, every CZW show is. But, yeah, this is just a floor they're throwing each other on.
Well, that is the ECW thing that they started, where they literally would brag, like, we don't use that fancy padding on the outside. And meanwhile, the wrestlers are just, like, bumping on concrete.
Yeah, it's like, that's not good.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, you might need pads. Yeah. Especially when the floor is slippery. These guys are, like, almost look like they're falling just walking around outside. They go back in the ring. Eddie gets a pin attempt, but then Rocker matrixes out of it. And that may be the most athletic thing we've ever seen Jeff Rocker do. Ruckus comes in. He gets both guys in opposite corners, gives a handspring elbow to Jeff Rocker, and then he has this chair set up and does a chair-assisted Hurricane Rana to Eddie Valentine. It looks awesome. And then he just turns around into an exploder suplex from Jeff Rocker. The commentators are really putting over Jeff Rocker here. They're like, this might be the best we've ever seen him. This is the best.
I mean, they're not wrong. It's just that the bar is so low for Rocker. Like, I thought the same as well, actually. I was like, all right, yeah, he's clearly trying. I mean, he still can't walk well.
Yeah,
like,
they're used to calling him a loser.
Yeah, he still walks in a funny way, like a Roblox character. but yeah, he looks okay, and Ruckus is great. I enjoy watching him. There's moments where, like, Rocker is carrying Ruckus like a big baby. It's very strange. Like, he'll catch him and just cradle him a bit. It's very odd.
Yeah, and he goes to, like, lift him up, but then I think he can't at one point, so he basically has to put him back down. Eddie Valentine hits Jeff with a tornado DDT. Then Ruckus DDTs Eddie, and he stacks him and Rocker in a pile. And he goes for, like, a tumbleweed and just crushes Jeff Rocker. Like, all of his weight comes down on Jeff Rocker. It looks fucking brutal.
Yeah, I'm surprised Rocker didn't pop.
And for some reason, instead of just pinning one of them, he goes outside to, like, grab a chair. And he just takes forever. Like, he's just dawdling. And then he just walks into a sidewalk slam leg drop from Rocker and Valentine. Rocker hits Ruckus with a TKO. And then Eddie palm strikes Rocker and then just pins Ruckus and gets the quick win here at 5 minutes and 24 seconds. Not the guy I would have thought would have won.
No.
Eddie Valentine.
Yeah, no, it is weird out of those two. I guess, you know, they're pushing Rocker.
It's
very strange.
Or Ruckus.
Yeah, they did compliment him, so who knows? Maybe they're like, that's enough. He doesn't get the win. We'll just say we'll compliment him on his weight loss.
And it's funny because Eric Gargiulo was like, Ruckus is eliminated, and the match continues. And then just they all leave. And he's like, oh, I guess it's not elimination. It clearly didn't know what was going on. And it's funny, as Jeff Rocker's leaving, this skinny, like, guy, this guy couldn't weigh more than 100 pounds. He's just getting in his face and fucking, like, talking shit to Rocker. And he just shoves him with both hands and just plants the guy on his ass.
Yeah, because Rocker's probably, like, he's more juice than man, but he's also, it's not fake strength. Like, I wouldn't square up to him.
Yeah,
with roid rage.
Wrestling fans are way too, like...
just because they think it's fake, they're like, oh, I could batter it. It's like, nope.
Yeah, I can talk shit to this guy who's just, like, you know, probably works in a bar somewhere.
Ruckus could beat you up as well. Like, all of these guys could beat me up.
Yeah, they can take a hit. So then we get our cut, and out first is John Dahmer, who is, like, also with Max Smack. And he's out here looking for an opponent. The commentator's like, he's not booked tonight. What's he doing out here? And so Mac grabs a microphone and just starts cutting an awful promo. I have this written here. Is Smack Mac ever cut a good promo?
I've not heard many of his promos, to be fair. He always blows the mic out. Like, the video on this wasn't bad, actually, but the audio is still not great. But
they had it for a few weeks where the audio was good. And
it's definitely because it's at Froggy's. Like, it's definitely Froggy's bar. The setup, that's how the audio is good. Because, mm-hmm. like, when they're ever doing it, like, where clearly they have to bring their own shit. Like, it's so bad. And, like, Max Smack already has, or Smack, I don't care, already has, like, a bad voice for speaking, I would say.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, I don't understand what he's saying a lot of the time.
Yeah, he grabs the mic, and I listen to it because I'm like, this is probably important. And he calls out Zabar, and he's like, I'm tired of seeing this guy on every show. Everyone knows he's an F slur, and you're just like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Like, he drops a few of these, and then he's like, I mean, he wears nail polish. What a homo. And you're like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, that's so 2001 as well. Like, I mean, it still exists today, some people that are like, oh, nail polish. But, like, yeah, very, very 2001 coded to be like, nail polish, that's gay.
That is gay. Yeah, it makes you think Zabar is the babyface here.
Yeah.
Because, like, John Dahmer and Max Mack look like just trailer trash. Like, yeah. Like, just awful. I'm like, oh, man, I hope Zabar takes it to John Dahmer here. But for some reason, like, he's called out, and Zabar just decides to come out to the ring alone. I'm like, if that was me, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm not coming to the ring. And he enters. He's trying to dance like Trent Acid. You can tell he's just none of the charisma of Trent Acid.
Yeah, no. And he's wearing nail polish. Gay.
I also thought that. And then we get John Dahmer versus Zabar. And they've done this a few times now where it's just like, Zabar is just there to get the shit kicked out of him. And then, like, every now and then he'll hit a low blow or he'll rake the eyes.
Yeah, I don't even know if he can wrestle. Like, I don't know what he's... is he... training? Is he a wrestler? Like, who is Zabar? They've never explained who Zabar is.
Yeah.
We need a spin-off podcast where we investigate Zabar.
I want to interview him on
this show. Just like, what? Can you wrestle, please?
Is he still alive, do you think?
Yeah, I bet he is. I bet he's living a good life.
I bet he. I don't know about a good life. But yeah. I bet he is alive.
Still painting his nails.
He really loves My Chemical Romance.
Oh, hey, bro. Don't, let's not.
Hey, I'm not knocking him.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine then.
At one point, Barr like tries an Ominari roll, and he just botches it. Like it's meant to end in a submission, and he just loses grip of the guy, and then he just tries to pin him, and it just looked terrible.
Yeah, I don't think he can wrestle. Actually, I think that's our answer.
He gets to his feet, and Dahmer just clotheslines his fucking head off. And then he lifts him up and Saito suplexes him right on his neck and shoulders. Like, Zabar's just getting the shit kicked out of him here. Yeah, he hits a low blow, and then John Dahmer just dodges it. Just recovers really quick and hits an orange crush for the win at 4 minutes and 56 seconds. A really nothing match here. I don't know why.
Yeah, very dumb. Like, there's a stipulation, I guess, that John Dahmer has to be in the first half of every CZW show.
Yeah.
He needs to get home.
We just needed to see this guy.
Yeah.
And it's funny, so Zabar's outside, and Mac comes up to him and gives him an Indian burn on the outside. I don't know if he caught this. And then Zabar's just left laying there, and the referees like sort of soldier walk him to the back. Hartog gives him a fireman carry and takes him to the back. Then we get a cut. At this point, I'm thinking this show is very unspectacular.
There's up like and down. I've enjoyed the matches, but yeah, not like weirdly inconsistent.
Yeah, there's nothing really going on.
Yeah.
And then out comes the superstar, Trent Acid, who does dance very charismatically.
Very charismatically, yeah.
We got the Giorgio Moroder.
We are a Trent Acid podcast. Like, we love this guy. Yeah, I was unsure at first, but yeah, I love Trent Acid.
Yeah, me too. And he's just getting better and better each week. And then this awesome, like, eerie music. It's tough to explain, but look up Minoru Fujita CZW soundtrack, because it's awesome. And the commentators lose their minds. Like, Eric Argiulo is doing the full Jim Ross, like, it's Minoru Fujita.
Oh, God. He's like, I don't know. Like, was he a big name back then? Like, was he, like,
no,
I guess.
It's just like, if it's a big name to Zandig, I feel like the commentators will reflect that. Like, I think he was probably a mid-carder in Big Japan Wrestling.
But Zandig's, and Zandig's like a weird dude who's like, obviously into wrestling a lot, but like, he'll know people that know, he'll consider people huge stars who no one else has heard of.
Yeah, exactly. You're the idiot if you don't know Minoru Fujita.
Yeah.
But he is cool. Like,
Yeah, of course.
He's just sort of like this classic Japanese wrestler. He's super ripped. He's got the anime hair. I'm a big fan of Minoru Fujita.
Yeah.
So right away, Acid, of course, is doing all his stalling. He taunts. He even gets the microphone and tells everyone to shut up, which I like when he does that.
Mm.
It's a thing he does every show. He does the respectful handshake with Fujita, and the second Fujita turns his back to go to his corner, he just Yakuza kicks him in the back of the head.
Classic.
I love the Yakuza kick. I think it's Trent Acid. It's just such a cool move, just a boot to the face. Fujita comes back strong. He hits a springboard missile dropkick, sends Trent outside, and then he does a suicide dive to the outside. Trent takes his time just getting back in the ring. He's sort of walking around and then goes for another handshake. And Vegeta's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What am I, fucking dumb? And so he refuses the handshake. Then they have a nice reverse off. Trent bails right away, and then Fujita hits a second suicide dive on him and throws Trent into the sea of chairs, which John House actually calls him. He says he threw him into the sea of chairs.
There's no other name for a collection of chairs, is there? Sea is the official name for plot chairs.
Yeah, and the audience just knows not to be in the way.
Yeah, it is funny how quickly they move, I guess, because it's just like, the room is full, but then whenever someone's getting thrown in something, there's just a massive empty space. Like, they move fast, man. They're like a school of tuna in the sea, where they're like moving out of the way. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, back in the ring, Fujita's in full control. He hits a knee breaker, then a dragon screw, and a leg lock. Trent makes it to the ropes, just working the legs over. Acid gets up, Yakuza kicks Vegeta again out of the air. Like, Vegeta's coming with a crossbody, and he just kicks him in the face. And then he locks in a camel clutch, which I was like, that's just a random move from Trent. And he hits him with a backbreaker, locks in a Boston Crab. So it's sort of like the story of Vegeta's working the knee,
yeah,
as Trent is working the back. They have a clothesline-based reverse-off where they keep going for clotheslines, and it ends with a Trent Acid blue thunderbomb for two. It's a great move. Like, I love the blue thunderbomb, and Trent always hits it really well.
Yeah.
He leaves the ring, and this, it's weird. The match just slowed to a halt as Trent just, like, meandered around the ring looking for chairs to throw in.
Yeah.
It was sort of like he just lost all like the momentum they had.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm a big fan of Acid, but he does this a lot. Like, I don't really like his, like when he's taunting and like doing all the stuff. Like, it's fun at first, but he always does it a bit too long, I'd say.
Yeah,
like,
he just stalls. In the
you're a good
of the
wrestler. You're like the one of the good best wrestlers in CZW. Please wrestle, bro. I need to watch good wrestling.
Yeah. So he gets back in and then eats a Hurricane Runner right away. Then Fujita makes a chair table and then puts Trent on the top rope and does this flawless Frankensteiner on Trent Acid through the chairs. Acid just eats it all. It's always funny. Like, the guy who brings in the weapons just immediately
always
takes them. That is the CZW way. Acid counters in the corner, and then they do the Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, like, crossbody spot where Acid hits the crossbody, but Vegeta keeps rolling through and gets a two count. And then Vegeta does this insane victory roll for, like, at the count of two. I can't really describe it well other than it was just, like, it was like a snap victory roll where he almost spiked him, and then it ended in a pin.
Yeah.
It was a really cool move. They have another reverse off, and it ends with an Acid Yakuza kick again for two. And then he sets up the Acid Bomb, but Vegeta counters. And as Vegeta's countering here, Johnny Cashmere just appears, and he trips Acid by the feet, and it allows for the Dragon Suplex with a bridge, and Vegeta wins, ending Trent Acid's undefeated streak at 12 minutes and 54 seconds.
Can't. Dirty finish. Doesn't count. I don't like it. Trent Acid, my goat. I'm ignoring the loss. He's still undefeated in my mind.
It is sort of like, you know, because Trent Acid would have another match later in the show, and it's like, he is the heel, but he's just getting fucked over, like, constantly.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Cashmere enters the ring, and he tosses out, like, a classic Bob Dylan, "How does it feel?" And he asks Trent Acid, "How does it feel to get fucked over in a match?" And he's like, "I'm not even booked tonight." And then Zandig enters with Zabar. Zandig gets in Cashmere's face, says, "You know what? You want your Trent Acid match? You can get it after the intermission, but there's going to be a special stipulation that I'll reveal after the match." So we
intermission.
We have the promise of a
can
special.
You imagine just, I don't know, it'd feel so weird just taking a 10-minute break from watching CZW to then return. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to have, like, return to the normal world whilst watching the show. Like, I'd just want to, I'd be like, what am I doing here? Like, yeah. If there was a break, I'd be like, what is my life?
You
got to
go get, like, your VHS tape.
Yeah.
And you're stretched in Smyrna t-shirt.
Yeah, I'd just be like, I should go home. I shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah, I don't want to breathe in light tube dust.
Yeah, no thank you.
Get cancer. So we take another cut. And it never says when the intermission is, by the way. We just assume that it happens in between one of these cuts.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Because sometimes they'll be like, right, we're having a break. And then I think a couple of times have been like that, and other times it just cuts and the same wrestlers are just in the ring again, like we've seen. You're like, oh, there must have been a break or something.
Yeah. So we get the Briscoes out first here with the Do, of course. And then the SAT is out next. By the way, do you know what SAT stands for? Have you picked that up from the shows?
No, I don't know what SAT stands for.
It's the Spanish Announce Team.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're Spanish.
Announce team, though.
Yeah.
Why announce team?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the I understand the Spanish bit.
Yeah.
Because they're Spanish, but they don't announce.
Yeah, no, they don't at all.
I mean, they're a team, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I...
It's because, you know, the WWF has Spanish announcers.
Oh.
So, it makes sense, right?
Yeah. That's so niche. That's
so
too niche
random.
For me. Yeah, so that's so specific. The SAT is the specific announce team.
Well, and I love they've now made Amazing Red, like, just part of the team here. So it used to be just Joel and Jose, and now Amazing Red is, like, part of the team, and he's easily the fan favorite.
Yeah.
He's just fucking awesome. He's got, like, real, like, Rey Mysterio vibes. Like, I remember the first time I saw him, and it's just, like, he just does incredible shit, and you're just, like, this guy rules.
Yeah.
So there's three of the SAT, obviously, and two Briscoes, so the Dude gets on the mic, and he's like, obviously we're outnumbered here, but I'm no idiot, so I got a partner for the Briscoes, and out comes Rick fucking Blade.
Hell yeah.
And the fans go fucking crazy. And so
of course.
Yeah. No, this was like, you know, I knew this was going to be a good match, just
yeah,
based on the competitors.
I mean, it is weird. They never really have any theming with who they're partnering with, because I don't think, I mean, has Rick Blade ever been involved with the Briscoes? I remember them feuding a little bit, even.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they were, Yeah, very strange, but hey.
They just need to get him on the show.
Yeah, more Rick Blade, I guess, yeah.
And, like, the dude is, like, a heel, but he hired Rick Blade.
The
like
baby. I mean, money talks, I guess.
Yeah. So the match starts fast with just triple synchronized attack from the Briscoes and Blade. They send all three members of the SAT outside, and then they hit triple Asahi moonsaults at the same time, which I feel like, I don't know much about physics, but if you're all bouncing.
I don't know much about physics.
But, like, if you're all bouncing off the same rope at the same time, like, I feel like that could just fuck up. Like, if one person went a bit earlier than the other or whatever.
Yeah, because the momentum. I mean, I know a lot about physics.
Right, you are a physicist.
You're right.
Thank you. And, yeah, but they nail it flawlessly.
Yeah, they defy physics. They defeat physics.
Yeah. So, as the match sort of resets here with Jay Briscoe having a reverse off with Jose, the commentators tell us that he actually missed his junior prom to be here tonight.
Oh.
He's like, and his girlfriend is angry at him, Gargiulo.
It would be angry. Yeah, yeah, you're only going to prom once, but you'll wrestle so many times.
Yeah, yeah. At CZ Dub.
Yeah, yeah. You're saying that, saying I'm missing prom. It's like, why? I'm wrestling. Oh, somewhere big. Yes.
Yes.
Where? Yeah. What's the show called? Don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. I'm wrestling in one of the states that legally allows me to wrestle.
Yeah. You wrestle where safe? Fire station. So, in a way, yes, the safest place.
Yeah, there's a fire. Yeah. So, Blade tags in, and then he has another reverse off with Jose. Then Jose tags in Red, and Blade tags in Mark. Another reverse off between Mark Briscoe and Amazing Red here. And like, again, Amazing Red, like, the Maximos are good and everything, but Amazing Red just looks so smooth, looks so impressive. I just love watching him wrestle. Jay tags back in, and he attacks the Maximos on the apron, and then turns into a Yakuza kick from Red. And then they triple-team Jay and hit him with, he has him in a surfboard. Joel surfboards him, and Amazing Red just double stomps him, which looks great. And the crowd's, like, losing their minds for all this.
Yeah, it's a good match. It's a very fun match.
And the match does sort of fall apart here for a second, though, as Blade is, like, entering. And I think he's meant to, like, run wild, but he just gets cut off right away. And it's clear, like, they're just confused what to do here. So Blade eventually just buzzsaw kicks Red. Then he turns into a double missile dropkick from the SAT. Joel misses the moonsault. This whole sequence is great. It's just a sequence of every single person missing a dive from the top rope. So Joel misses the moonsault. Then Mark goes to hit him, and he misses with a senton on Jose. Then Jose misses a 450 splash, and then Blade misses a tumbleweed, followed by Red missing this crazy corkscrew. He spins, like, four times, like, in the air and just wipes out under the canvas. And at this point, the fans are just chanting, holy shit. Like, literally everyone just, like, eats shit into the canvas.
Yeah, you're just watching Cirque du Soleil at this point. Like, people just doing, like, gymnastics.
Yeah. At this point, the match is just, it hits this crazy pace. Every guy is sort of taking their turn, running wild, hitting guys with moves, and then pinfalls get broken up by their partners. It peaks when Jay hits this disgusting sit-out powerbomb on Red. It's like he just snaps him down to the ground. Like, it looks fucking awesome. And then Red kicks out and, like, seconds later hits the Red Star Press, which is his standing shooting star press. And this is so novel at the time. Like, people are just fucking losing it.
Is that the one where you just, like, do a flip onto the... Yeah.
Yeah, the standing shooting
star
press.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's fucking wild. And then Mark Briscoe just enters and he hits the burning hammer to Red, which is, like, just drops...
Which one's the burning hammer?
It's the one where he just drops him on his head.
Yeah.
It's, like, a classic move. And the fans are so appreciative of this, they start chanting, fuck the Hardys, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I mean, like, fair enough, I guess. But, like, I mean, the Briscoes were, like, I guess they are the... Well, the Hardys were bad boys as well, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, the Hardys were sick. I mean, come on.
No, I love the Hardys. I'm just like, don't swing. Because the Hardys are probably, every person who's chanting fuck the Hardys are probably their favorite tag team. Like, they probably all love the Hardys. Like, at least do someone else.
It's such classic CZW, like when they'd shit all over ECW.
Yeah.
And then the second an ECW wrestler showed up, they're like, oh my God.
Soy facing, like, holy shit, I love it, fuck the Hardys.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious. Like, if the Hardys showed up in CZW,
this crowd would lose their mind. They'd have an aneurysm. Pete Hardy, they'd go nuts.
So the babyfaces go for what they call a three-story superplex, where Mark is on Jay's shoulders and then Blade is on Mark's shoulders, and they try to superplex Red, but they don't all fall at the same time, and it basically, like, Red just flips over, and this is, like, a bad wipeout. It looks terrible, but the fans just chant CZW anyway.
They're appreciative of the effort they're giving, because they're definitely, I think, like stretching a bit further than their skill, like outreaching
stretching
their grasp. What's the word?
And smearing it?
Yeah, oh yeah, I didn't mean. But like their grasp outweighs it. I don't know, but like basically trying shit that maybe they shouldn't be. But
yeah,
you know,
no, this looked incredibly dangerous.
Yeah,
like red was so high in the air.
Yeah, it's, you know, so it's pretty nuts because they're trying to do athletic. It's not like. Like when Rick Blade's jumping off a super high place, you're like, yeah, that's super dangerous, but like just falling. But this, they're trying to do flips and shit, and you're like, oh, all right, bro.
Yeah. Well, and then right after the SAT get Jay Briscoe on the top rope, they hit their double Spanish fly, which always looks incredible. Mark and Blade running at the same time to make the save. They hit this triple drop kick to Jose, which looks great. And then the Briscoes, so one of the Briscoes has Joel in the camel clutch. And then the other one just is holding a chair in front of his face. And Rick Blade dives from like three quarters across the ring and just drop kicks this fucking chair into his face.
Yeah.
It looked fucking
You can
crazy.
Hear the impact.
It looked wild. Jay hits a cannonball on him. Mark hits a moonsault. And then Blade crushes him with a corkscrew for the win at 13 minutes and 41 seconds. The fans give this one a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty great
Six
match.
Six stars. Great match.
17 stars.
17, 27 stars.
Yeah, eat your heart out, Meltzer.
Yeah, this is the Comics in the Combat Zone star system.
38.
Yeah, it'd be so funny just to absolutely go psychotic with it. Just no right. Just be like, this is dog shit. 100 stars.
6,000.
12,000 stars.
So after they do this angle where the Briscoes are like ready to fire the dew because they've just had enough of them.
Yeah.
And then out comes Nick Gage and Nate Hatred. And they just.
HR.
Hey, that's pretty good. They stand intimidatingly behind. The Briscoe's parents that are in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they just stand there and cross their arms.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, do you want them to fuck up your parents?
Yeah.
And the Briscoes are like, I guess we're not going
to
fire you then.
Yeah, because I don't want Nick Gage to beat up my mum. Yeah, like, yeah, like, that makes sense. Like, yeah, I mean, that's capitalism. That's naked capitalism there of just like, we will kill your parents if you don't work for us. Like,
yeah.
Under all the bullshit about this and that, ultimately, Nick Gage is going to beat you up if you do not do your job.
Yeah, and then it just is so funny that it's like,
The commentator's
I guess
like,
we'll continue working with you.
Yeah, and the commentator's like, this is their breaking. Like, that's gross. No, you can't bring your parents into this.
Yeah, Eric Argiulo is disgusting.
Yeah, and it's like, after they've called the people slurs and called thingy and all that, they're like, gross, no!
Yeah, this is a ridiculous
Nick Gage, setup. You've gone too far.
It's like, yeah, well, yeah. So you know it's coming. You know the breakup with the duo is coming.
Yeah, it would be very funny if. They had Gage just completely misread the situation, just like moonsault on the dad.
Yeah, brainbusters. Yeah,
just
like
light tubes
the
mum's head. Yeah, or like when you know when they put the light tube in front of the guy and he like slid in, just did that to the dad out of nowhere.
Yeah, so we get our cut, and then out comes Trent Acid again. Now I don't know about you, so when they set this Johnny Cashmere Trent Acid matchup earlier, were you thinking it just wasn't going to happen? Because I was pretty sure they were going to find some way to not do this match. They'd been building it up for so long.
Yeah, I thought there'd be something weird going on with it. Like, I don't, like, yeah, the stipulation would be...
I thought Zandig would be like, the stipulation is five of us versus you or something.
Yeah, just something insane. Because, like, he comes up with the best stipulations. So, I don't know. I thought it was going to be like, you need to cook me a pizza while you're wrestling.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was going to be like an insane game show.
And so Johnny Cashmere comes out, entering to One Step Closer by Linkin Park. Let's go.
Yeah, good song.
Great song. And Johnny Cashmere is looking ripped. I mean, he's recently gotten into baby oil, and I'm sure that helps. But
yeah.
He does just look shredded. He's no longer wearing the like Hot Topic outfit.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's like he shed his skin, and now he's hot.
Mm-hmm. So this match actually begins, and Cashmere starts fast, hits his huge bulldog, sends Acid outside, hits a big tumbleweed onto Acid and Zabar outside. It's all Cashmere's. He locks in his like weird reverse headlock that sort of keeps his stomach exposed, and Zabar enters with a chair to hit him in the sternum, and Cashmere just uses his feet and kicks the chair into Zabar's face. Again, like, it's so random that the referee will like do counts and like try to keep rules, but he'll also just allow a guy to enter with a chair and like attack somebody.
Yeah, very odd. And it is, I mean, it is, they've got, like, imagine being the whipping boy in CZW, like, Zabar is. You just like,
it would suck.
Yeah, you just like, oh, oh, I'm so excited. I love wrestling. This is my break into the industry. It's like, what do you want me to do? You're just going to take chair shots every week.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like Gage. No, not like Gage. This is a different way of taking chair shots.
Yeah, and everyone's going to goof on you, and yeah, no one will respect you.
And it'll amount to, let's be real, very little.
Yeah. Do you think he made $100 for this show?
I think he's paid in exposure.
Yeah. So Cashmere then sits a chair down, hits a diamond dust on it for two. And finally, Acid makes a comeback by just chucking the chair off of Cashmere's face. Like, it bounces off his face. It looks brutal. And he takes him to the outside, chucks Cashmere into the sea of chairs. Back in the ring, Cashmere blocks a tornado DDT, plants Acid on the top rope, but then Acid counters that and face busters him onto a chair off the top rope. So, like, at this point, I'm like, oh, this match is just fully happening.
Yeah.
This is, like, a match. Like, I was sure it would be, like, a two-minute thing.
Yeah, fair play to Acid for being able to do a second match like this.
Which makes no sense, because yeah, he's the fucking heel.
Yeah.
And it's like, Cashmere legitimately just challenged a guy who had, like, a 13-minute match already.
Yeah. very odd. But, yeah, there's something power in him.
Yes, there's something. It's just random. Acid sets up the Acid Bomb, but Cashmere counters, goes for his Cradle Breaker, which is sort of, like, he's like, it's like a cradle bomb, but he drops you on his knee. And then Zabar runs in again and pulls Acid down. So Cashmere just hits Zabar with the Cradle Breaker. Turns around into a Yakuza kick, but Cashmere just no-sells it and hits a Yakuza kick of his own. He attempts a victory roll on Acid, and Acid just sits back, grabs his tights, and wins this match clean at 5 minutes and 49 seconds. So Cashmere is just a fucking loser.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Insane, dude.
Yeah, he is a loser. we all know it.
It's just like, the booking on this is like, could you make a guy look fucking lamer?
Yeah, it's a weird storyline. Like, because they're not really, obviously the Backseat Boys were like a big tag team as well, so it's kind of like, it's a shame they've not really done more with it, to be fair. It's a bit of a...
I'm so sure they're going to reunite at some
point. I think
point.
They... I'm sure they will. It's just very strange that, like, the booking and writing for this has been very up and down. Like, we've not been... there's been spates where they've been doing it and then not doing it for a bit and then other thing, but there's never, like, been a under, like, through line of them always popping up and, like, attacking each other. So it's just... very anticlimactic finish, I guess.
Yeah, very strange. And just to have the heel win clean after he'd already had a match.
Like, yeah.
It just really doesn't make sense at all. So then Acid and Cashmere, they start having this dialogue in the ring after the match. And then they shake hands and it goes into a hug. And I was like, this is sort of nice, you know. Like, maybe they're reuniting the tag team or whatever. Then out comes Zandig and he's like, disgusted with Trent for showing respect.
Hugging, yeah, why are you hugging a man?
Yeah, why are you hugging this piece of shit?
Yeah, don't hug him.
Yeah, and then he just clotheslines Cashmere and lifts him up for like a gorilla press and just chucks him into the second row. I'm sure this guy was a plant and he threw him on, but he just throws him into this big fat fan. And it's like both of them go down. I was like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, this is toxic. This is personification of toxic masculinity, just coming out and being like, hugging a dude?
Yeah.
Not on my watch.
And then Zandig gets the mic and he's like, oh, by the way, you want to know the stipulation? It was a loser leaves town match. Cashmere, you're fucking fired.
That's so funny to do it after, announce it after.
Yeah. So, and then, like, literally as Zandig's, like, finishing the sentence, Wifebeater sneaks into the ring with this giant, like, bundle of light tubes. Probably like 6 or 8 light tubes.
Yeah.
And just smashes it on Zandig's head.
I knew that what was about to happen was going to be psycho mode. Like, and I mean, I wasn't prepared for how psycho mode it was.
Yeah.
But the image of Wifebeater with a bundle of light tubes, I was like licking my lips. I was like, this is it. And not just because he's a big oily boy and we love that. But I was just like, this something is going to... The energy... changed when Zandig ran in and just went crazy, and I was just ready for whatever was about to transpire.
Definitely. And it's so funny how quickly Cashmere just became an afterthought.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, as he got fired, Wifebeater is in the ring, and we're just going on to this next match.
The stipulation that I didn't tell you about is, you have to kill yourself now. like, yeah, it's just insane.
Your career is over.
Yeah, you are dead meat.
So this match just begins. Zandig versus Wifebeater, apparently for the CZW World Heavyweight Championship, which is like Wifebeater has, but he doesn't come out with a belt.
No.
So Zabar joins commentary here, by the way, and immediately he tells like a joke that just bombs. He's like, why are we talking about Cashmere sweaters? And the commentators are like, what, like, fuck off.
Yeah, he just can't catch a break. Like, he's a whipping boy in wrestling and commentating.
He's just the worst. Like, he is even Eric Gargiulo is like, you're a fucking loser.
He is the worst, Zabar. Zabar is the worst.
So, yeah, worse than Jeff Rocker. That's a bad place to be.
Yeah, he's like the inverse. Like, everything good about Trent Acid. It's the yin to the yang.
So Zandig whips wife beater, but Irish whips wife beater, but wife beater breaks it, and then he just smack Mac is holding up a light tube on the ring, and like in one motion, wife beater just grabs it from him and smashes it on Zandig's head. Zandig is bleeding profusely.
Oh man,
it's like 90 seconds
straight away. There is blood everywhere,
and I don't even know if he cut himself or if this just was like the damage of, like, he's already taken so many tubes just to the forehead.
I just feel like his skin has no time to recover, so it's very weak.
Yeah,
like, I don't know, maybe it comes apart at the seam super quickly. Like, it's crazy how fast he just starts bleeding.
If he
bleeding.
Flexed his head, I'm sure it would
just blow up. Be like a bit in Scanners. Yeah. If he holds his nose when he sneezes, his head just explodes.
So Justice Payne's music hits, and he enters during this match, just in the middle of the match, his music hits, and he enters holding a gigantic barbed wire board, which is just like spools of barbed wire on this thing.
Hell yeah.
I was like, let's go.
Let's fucking go.
He set it up in the corner. Wife beater whips Zandig at Justice Payne, who fucking belly to bellies him just into this barbed wire board. Looks just brutal.
Yeah, it's
like you can see it stick to him. It sticks to his hair. It sticks to his skin.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, it doesn't even feel like a match. It just feels like
We had one of these before. Remember when they just like they poured salt all over him? And they whacked him and then lit him on fire.
I was like hoping for another lobster. Like remember when they put a lobster down his pants? Like, that was wild.
Well, at this point, the rest of the Hate Club enter and they tie Zandig to both corners of the ring. Which is, if you remember, what they did to Wife Beater like 2 years ago to get him to lose that I Quit match.
Yeah.
And they just start smashing light tubes on his back. At this point, his back is just fucking bleeding as much as his head is.
It's crazy. And he's like kneeling down. Like, I don't know if he's wanting to paint himself as a Jesus figure, but he certainly looks like he's trying to.
They're like torturing him.
Yeah.
It's just torture. Justice Payne has this like mace of just light bulbs.
Yeah,
and he just swings it around and whips him in the back with these light bulbs.
Zandig died for Jesus' sins. Like,
he looks a lot like Jesus on
steroids. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
yeah. So after minutes of this, like just minutes of torture,
it's insane.
Nick Mondo enters the ring.
Hell yeah!
It's like, where has he been this whole time? Like, where are all the big deals?
Where's the breaking point? Yeah, that's his breaking point.
Yeah, and he just comes in and smashes Wife Beater with tubes. And then Nick Gage and Nate Hadrick come out and even the odds, or even just stack the odds against the babyfaces here. They're beating the shit out of Wife Beater and Justice Payne. And then literally as Zandig is being stretchered out of the arena, Lobo enters with just a bunch of tubes and just beats the fuck out of Mondo, Gage, and Hatred. So this whole thing just devolves into like this crazy six-man tag match.
It would have been really funny if Gage ran out, but just ran to the Briscoes' parents and just started hitting them.
Sets up the board. And it's like, so it went from Wife Beater versus Zandig into like Mondo, Hatred, and Gage versus Justice Payne, Wife Beater, and
just
Lobo.
Anarchy. It just descended into the chaos.
Mm-hmm. And as this is happening, the production team just sets up the giant barbed wire board and puts it on two tables outside. I love when they do that because it's like, you know, someone's getting
they're not doing that for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. So outside, Lobo breaks a guitar on Gage, and then he takes his broken guitar and just smashes it on Nate Hatred. The sound it made was like a gunshot.
How does it feel?
Wife Beater suplexes Mondo onto the floor, and then he hits his he just smokes him with a barbed wire garbage can, which is sort of like Nate Hatred's like weapon. He always has this garbage can.
His iconic garbage can, yeah.
In the ring, Gage nails Justice Payne with a choke breaker, then a frog splash combo, misses the swanton, and then Justice Payne lifts up Nick Gage, and that barbed wire board is still in the corner set up, and he just brain busters him through this barbed wire board. It looks fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Outside, Mondo suplexes Wife Beater onto the barbed wire trash can. Hatred and Lobo, because they're in their separate pairs like they usually do, and it's impossible to keep track of any of them at this point.
Yeah. I will say, though, it's very fun.
Yes, it's very chaotic.
It's like very bloody, very violent, and I'm just like, yeah, this is
how everyone is bleeding.
Yeah, I'm glad this is taking place in a fire station. Like, it's insane that it's in a fire. This entire thing's in a fire station.
Yeah, at one point, Mondo just suplexes wife beater flat on the floor, and you just see like this smear of blood.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, who's gonna clean that up?
Yeah,
you would probably slip on it. And so, yeah, Hatred and Lobo are easily having the worst exchanges, by the way. Like, they pair off, and they're both just so sloppy and, like, bad at wrestling.
Because, I mean, Hatred's had, you know, obviously, Hatred's grown a bit on us, the wrestler, not the emotion. But, like, yeah, he's still not a good wrestler. Lobo is, like, Lobo takes a beating. There's a place for Lobo, like, he's not... But he's not a wrestler, really. He just knows how to take a beating. Yeah. So putting those two together, it's very weird they put those two together.
Yeah, he's like the poorest man's Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Like, just in the he's just a punching bag.
Yeah, for sure. And Hatred, but you're a punching bag for someone who can't punch. So it's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, the worst pairing. Meanwhile, so Justice Payne and Gage, they get on that bar. They're wrestling on top of that barbed wire board on the two tables. And then Justice Payne ducks a thing. He hits the Payne Thriller, which is essentially just an angle slam. And they just threw everything, like through the board, the tables just burst apart. These two are like out for this match.
Yeah, for sure.
And then as this is happening, all you hear is a weed whacker.
Zandig, it's so funny the
Zandig
way he runs
reappears
in.
Without a shirt with a weed whacker.
So fucking funny. Like he runs in like a horror villain. Like it's just out of frame. He just like charges in and just like, rah! And then there's a weed whacker. And you're like, holy shit, this is like Jason.
Dude, the noise is so like actually scary.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you heard that in the arena, you'd be like, oh fuck.
Yeah, locust noise, isn't it? It's insane. But the way he just runs in covered in blood and you're just like,
and then he just weed whacks wife beater.
Yeah, this man's just gonna kill the audience. Like
he just clips wife beater's back immediately, and you can see him just like, ah, yeah, like, fuck,
it's crazy, yeah. It's insane.
It is wild. He wife beaters him, or sorry,
he wife beaters him.
He weed whacks the wife beater.
He wife beaters him. That's good.
And then hits him with a mother effing bomb on just a pile of light tubes for good measure. And then pins wife beater to win back the CZW title in this fucking like 7-man matchup or whatever.
Yeah.
At 14 minutes and 7 seconds.
Stipulation, you have to move to China.
Like, what was this?
Like, yeah, it didn't feel like a match. That's I thought, because at one point I was just like, is this still a match or has this just broken? Like,
yeah.
Like the other week where they just beat up Zandig. Like, it's just that again, but it was a match now.
Mm-hmm. And so they just announced that he is the new champion, which they'd never said that this was the title match when it started.
No, there was
not. His wife beater just appeared and beat like hit him with tubes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So Zandig is celebrating. He's like lifting the weed whacker above his head.
Like his best mate, yeah.
Which is just hilarious. As like, Zabar and Trent Acid are like dancing next to him.
Yeah, like like the Twi'leks in Star Wars. Like, it's so weird. Yeah, they're just like dancing. It's very, it is an iconic image, I would say. A bloodied Zandig holding a weed whacker to the sky.
Yeah.
Just celebrating wildly.
It was awesome. And then he even cuts a promo and he's like, this could have been a one-on-one match, but you had to get your pals involved or whatever. And then he ends it with a CZ fucking W.
CZ fucking W.
And yeah, that's it. We cut to the back. Wife beater is just covered in blood and eating crisps.
It's pretty funny. I like wife. I mean, I think he'd be an awful person to hang out with, but he's very funny to watch on screen.
What's funny, as far as bad people go, like Rock and Rebel has set the bar so low. And I'm like, wife beater's probably not as bad of a person as
no, yeah, as long as he didn't literally kill anyone. But you just don't know, I guess.
He's probably alive, right?
Yeah, yeah. You don't. He's alive. Whether the other people involved or not, I don't know.
So that's it. And then we go to our replays from the main event. So yeah, what did you think of this one?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good fun. Like. There was some slow moments, but I thought overall the matches were like of high quality, and just the insanity of the gear shift at the end just felt like it came from nowhere in the best way.
Yeah, I will say I really didn't like how they handled Kashmir and Acid. I just felt like that was a match they were really building up to, and they sort of just gave
it was
it
really
to
odd it. To make him wrestle twice as well, just because that feels like an afterthought. Not even have it be the first match.
Yeah,
like have it be like feel like an afterthought. So it was pretty. Yeah, it was poor form.
That was just bad booking. But and I give this one a 2 out of 7, and I know that's a failing grade, but I do think like you know.
Yeah, but they've all had failing grades, to be fair.
Yeah, but two used to be a rarity.
Yeah.
Now it's sort of becoming more normal. To me, it was just the first half of the show is just so nothing.
And
nothing spectacular. It wasn't until the Briscoes and Blade versus SAT that we got a really good match.
Yeah, I'm going 2.25.
Nice.
Because I do think, I know what you mean. It did feel a bit nothing, especially compared to what came after. But that Nick Burke opening match was good fun.
That's
and
true.
The matches after were solid. But yeah, 2.2, unheard of. You know, it was crazy time to be thinking we'd ever give a show two. So, I can't. The Zandig holding a weed whacker to the sky in victory is insane. So
covered in blood.
Yeah, absolutely insane. So,
I found it unoffensive. And an hour 45 is a great length for a CZW show.
Yeah, I mean, I've checked out the next episode.
Three hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, so that, I mean, cool.
But anyways, guys, this has been Comics in the Combat Zone. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jordan Ducharme, at FunnyJordanD on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm at PinkHoverboard on Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening, and keep it tuned to The Wrestling Brain. We'll be back with you next week.